listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
So I got up on Sunday morning. I said, I believe you died on the cross. Take a chance. All right, I'll take a chance. I believe you died on the cross, rose from the dead, blah, 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 blah. Nothing happens. Then I said, okay, I'm a fool to live without you. You're God. What a fool. I said, listen, okay, so I believe you died on the cross, rose from the dead, and here it was. I said, I surrender the rest of my life to you. Within me was this flooding of, first thing I thought was, this is why people do drugs, because the drugs are the counterfeit. This was a lucid, beautiful, overflowing high. Then I sat in my rocking chair, and I don't know if you can relate to this, but in America, we have a, black people have a spirituality about them. And I said, this is what the black folks are talking about. I said, I always thought joy and happiness were synonyms. This was joy. And I sat there going, you're real, you're real, you're real. And, the Holy Spirit was with me for solidly for at least 6 months after. I mean, not drunk, but you know, without no doubt, no doubt. And so that was my. But anyway, here's later in life. Ben Kinchlow. I don't even know how it happened to this day, but he used to sit right where you're sitting. He came and visited me. You know, and he would visit and be on the show. We went to the National Religious Broadcast together, but here's this guy who was world famous and then was part of my salvation, and I got to be friends with him. He's now left the earth, and it was just, I mean, I could, you know, I could cry now thinking about Ben. It was such a lovely, lovely human being, but it's amazing what God can do, isn't it?
Yeah, amazing.
You know, so you got converted. Now, you're 24? Okay, how do you end up at this? When do you decide that there's a call, 23? When do you find out that there's a call of God on your life that you want to go to this school where you would meet your Bella?
Yeah, and I think it was a very slow process. In other words, you know, and as a lot of people could understand and relate, you know, the Christian life is full of highs and lows and peaks and valleys, and I'm in the insurance business, and I'm going through all of these kind of different things where I'm trying to, in essence, come to grips with my wealthy background. I was very much a product of wealth. I played golf on the weekends. I played paddle tennis in the summertime, in the wintertime, rather. I was very much connected to the whole country club life.
Yes.
And so it took time for the Lord to kind of disentangle the web of my life, which was so closely connected to wealth and elitism, that, you know, for a while I thought, oh, I can be a Christian and I can be a light in the country club environment.
Now you can sell insurance and say, look, I've got the only policy, whereas if you go down in a plane, you'll go right back up again.
Right.
But yeah. you and I have to talk because we belong to the Poughkeepsie Tennis, the Poughkeepsie Golf and Country Club. We belong to the Dutchess Golf and Country Club, the IBM Country Club, the Tennis Club. Nobody even played tennis. We had this abundance, wealth, but boy, were we poor in spirit.
Country Club kids who were poor in spirit. And and I had this vision of, okay, I'm going to be salt and light among my Country Club of friends. And slowly but surely, the Lord would just continue to say, that's not what I have in mind for you.
I'm going to minister to the up and outers. Play golf forever and talk about Jesus.
Right, and so he eventually brought me to a place where I had no joy in the country club anymore.
Yes, I know what you're saying.
And then he pulled me out of it, and then I'm like, what am I going to do now? I'm like, I was like, once again, I'm kind of like a lost puppy. My whole life had been deconstructed, and
you got the greatest gift you could ever get, finding out it is a privilege to serve.
So I'm in the Episcopal Church along with all of my other country club friends, and I'm finally like, the Lord called me out to go to the Baptist Church down the street. I went from Trinity Episcopal Church to Trinity Baptist Church, and everybody thought I had completely lost my mind. I went from worshiping with all the wealthy elite people in town to all the plumbers and the contractors in town. And
didn't it feel like a warm blanket?
And all of a sudden I felt like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
This is the body of Christ.
Yes.
And I felt, and the preaching was just super solid from the pulpit and everything else. And so But so, and then I come in, I'm in a men's prayer group, mm-hmm. and my good friend, Dan McCandless, who has served as a mentor for me, mm-hmm. comes in, and it must have been like August. And he literally looks up and he says, I think I'm going to go back to school. I'm going to go to seminary.
Mm. That's what he said.
Yeah, and the semester was starting in like 3 days.
Oh, really?
And I'm like, I think I'm going to go with you.
Oh.
And it was just like that. And literally, it was, I'm in the insurance business to full-time in seminary in a matter of a week.
And how far away was that from your home in Connecticut?
And so that I would be commuting to Nyack from Fairfield, Connecticut, and it took me about an hour and 15 minutes driving, you know, down, wow. you know, the Merritt Parkway, over the Tappan Zee Bridge, mm-hmm. down to Nyack. And then, so it was the first week of class that here I am, I'm starting this new life, and I'm in class. I can't remember what class it was. And I'm sitting in the back of the class trying to figure out, okay, is this, I was kind of dipping my toe in the water trying to figure out, is this real, or am I just, you know, experimenting? And with that, we're all in there, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, you know, waiting for the teacher. And with that, this guy walks into class, African guy, adorned from head to toe with this beautiful African gown.
Is that the one that's featured in Vero's Voice magazine?
Yes.
Ah.
And he's got the hat on. Like, do you ever see Coming to America with Eddie Murphy?
Yeah, yeah.
This kind of like classic fish out of water story. Here's this guy, and he walks right down the middle of the class.
Who is this guy?
Plunks himself in the front row, and everyone's eyes are locked on this guy.
Is this an angelic being? Were you aware of your difference and that you stuck out?
Aware.
No, because you wear that stuff back in Africa, right? In Tanzania.
I didn't have any other garment to wear.
Yeah, that was it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a good one to wear. Mm-hmm. So glad what happened. Thanks.
Well, so, I mean, of course, I mean, he was kind of like a celebrity almost immediately. It's like, who is this guy?
Yeah.
And you're at a missionary training school. That's what the Alliance, Christian Missionary Alliance, was mm-hmm. basically a missionary training school.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I know I had a heart for missions, but I didn't know what the Lord was calling me to.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew, I was like, wow, I was totally intrigued by this guy. And so I went up and, you know, introduced myself after class, and we became fast friends. It was like we come from these two totally different, mm-hmm. you know.
Well,
he grows up in this little backwater town in Tanzania. I grew up in
dirt floor, I presume.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, when he came to America, he had two sets of clothes. He had the bright orange gown, and he had one other set of clothes.
That's it.
And with no money in his pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's trying to figure out, what do I wear to class today? Do I wear the clothes that I wore on the plane yesterday, or do I wear this gown? So he decided to wear the gown. And so here I am. I'm coming from wealth, and yet, boom, we're like, you know.
How did you afford to come to America? I mean, that's a lot of money. You're in Africa.
Yeah.
And, you know, what's the average income of Tanzania? $300 a year? 500?
Not even much.
Not even that.
Mm-hmm.
So where in the world did you get the amount of money to buy a ticket to the USA?
I was given an air ticket back 1 year before I came, and it was $1,400. I was to attend a seminar in Northwestern University because I was trained as a librarian back then.
You were what?
I was trained as a librarian.
Trained as a librarian?
As a librarian. So I wanted to attend this seminar for about a week. But it didn't fall through. And so I had this money waiting me in the bank. And then the next year, I was given the opportunity to come to America. So I used that as a transportation fee. But reaching New York, I had only $20 in my pocket.
Only $20 in New York City?
In New York City, at JFK. And nobody had come to pick me up. And at the verge of losing hope, there shows, I don't remember his name, shows a guy who has been sent by the seminary to come look for me. He has been looking for me for 2 hours without locating me. Then I saw this cardboard written my name, Mrs. Perrot. Then I said, I think that's my name. And he looked at me and said, Are you Bella? And I said, yeah. Then we clicked.
Mm-hmm. And what happens next?
15 minutes later, he had hit a flat tire. And he didn't know how to change a flat tire.
So you changed the tire?
Who does the flat tire? I did. I took off my shirt.
And that beautiful outfit you had on?
Yeah, and went under the hood. And the
oh, my check word.
Up. Then we changed the flat tire, and then we went away to Nyack.
To the school? Yeah, but how did you find out about the school?
Oh, I was looking in the magazines.
Okay. Now, you have no money for tuition.
I don't have any money.
So how did you
go? My family didn't pay for my tuition.
Who? Your family did not.
They did not. I had a missionary who was willing to pay for tuition, part of it. I had another church who was willing to pay for tuition, and another family from Oregon who said, okay, these were friends of the missionaries in my country. They said, we'll team up together with the church and you, the three of us can make it. So they begin paying for my tuition. But also at the school, I was given a job. Because I was trained as a librarian, I was offered a job.
What was a librarian at that school?
I was doing librarianship even in my country. But when I came here, I was also given the job in the library too.
Now, who taught you how to read?
Read what?
Back in Tanzania, who taught you how to read?
I went to school.
There was a school?
Yeah.
Was it a missionary school, people that believed in Jesus, or?
It was a primary school, which was a kind of a church-run school. And also, I went to a good school when I was in high school. So that way, I was able to...
But you read voluminously. You read a lot.
Yeah, I did.
So, which is a telltale sign, because I'm looking at you, you know, I've met a lot of people, and I've also read about a lot of people, and it seems if there's a thread, there's a certain threads that I find in billionaires, millionaires, very successful people, generally humility, and they read voluminously. Mm-hmm. Like, for instance, the guy who started Microsoft reads 500 pages a day. Mm-hmm. Who's the great investor there? Warren Buffett. He says he reads at least 1,000 pages, or 1,000 pages every day, or 1,000 words. I think it's 1,000 pages. Mm-hmm. I mean, these people read... It's voluminously, and I'm looking at you while you were talking. I'm thinking.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.
Start Smart Learning Center offers a fun, nurturing, faith-based space for your child to grow and succeed. We are now enrolling children ages 1 to 5 years old. Visit our website at startsmartlc.org or call us at 772-281-4121 to give your child the head start they deserve.
Hi, this is Pastor Steve Camp of the Cross Church here in Palm